it's been a three-month break for Michigan legislators. Earlier, we heard from Republican Senators Rick Jones and Phil Pavlo about what lies ahead this fall season. Let's hear from a couple of leading House Democrats, House Democratic Leader Tim Grimmel of Auburn Hills and House Democratic Floor Leader Sam Singh of East Lansing. Join us. Welcome back.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, great to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for braving the rain. You came prepared at least with a umbrella carrier. Not bad.
Absolutely.
Tim Grimmel.
And I would just say, I think we've got the worst of both worlds right now because it's still hot out and it's raining.
and the humidity is above 100% right now. We've heard a bunch of views about the fall session and what should take precedence here. The election in the House throws a wrench into this thing as to what might get done or what might not get done. How would you describe your priorities?
Well, in terms of just this three-week session and amount of time?
Well, for the rest of 2016,
I think there are a few key issues. One is there's some important legislation sitting in the Senate that would reduce recidivism, and I'm hopeful that the House will take that up and pass those anti-recidivism bills. I think actually the Senate has already passed those out of the Senate, and they're sitting in the House, so we should definitely act on that. The other two issues that I want to just touch on are we really need to revisit the roads issue. The roads package that the Republicans passed a year ago is really a joke. It's not going to fix the roads. It's not even fully phased in until the year 2021. I think every Michigan resident knows we've got to fix the roads now, not 5 years from now. And then we've got to do more to fix education in this state. The other big issue that I'm going to let my colleague Sam Singh talk about is the energy policy issue, which is hugely important, and energy is very vital to our state's economic future. Sam's been the point person on that.
It's not the first time you and I have spoken about energy. Where does energy legislation stand right now, and what are the chances of moving forward this fall on any of that?
Well, I think in the lame duck, we have a really good opportunity to look at a bipartisan solution on the energy policy. There has been some discussions that the Senate might potentially vote in 2 weeks on a version that might have bipartisan support with our Senate Democratic colleagues. What we're looking for is to expand the renewable energy standards, expand some of the energy efficiency, make sure that people can use solar energy on their homes. And if we can do that and make sure that we have a consistent amount of electrical opportunity for all customers, and make sure we can keep those prices down for the general public and for the business community, I think you can find a bipartisan solution. Unfortunately, in the House, there's been extreme elements who've not wanted to have that conversation, but we're hoping that the Senate Republicans will be a little bit more nuanced and work with our Senate Democratic colleagues to find a bipartisan solution.
Is the hang-up in the House, though, is that the renewable energy percentage, or is it something else?
Well, I think it is something else. There's a whole group of people who want to deregulate the entire energy system. We toyed with that a number of years ago. It didn't work. It didn't work in California when they tried it. And so I think that part of the Tea Party wing of the House that has been, screwed up the roads package, it really hurt the solutions, the bipartisan solutions for Democratic, for the Detroit public schools, are also hurting the energy policy. And my hope is it will have more of the centrist groups come around the table and just try to get this done, because it has been something we've been working on for over 2 years.
Tim Grimmel, you alluded, I'm sorry, you wanted to
well,
make another
I would
point.
Actually add one other very important issue, and that's transparency and accountability in government. There is a package that's a bipartisan package that's been tentatively agreed to in the House to expand the Freedom of Information Act in Michigan to both the legislature and the governor. We're currently one of only two states in the entire country that don't apply the Freedom of Information Act to the governor's office and to legislators. We need to change that. We should be able to act quickly in the House to get that out of the House, and then hopefully the Senate will do the right thing.
There's consensus
and pass
on
it as well.
There's consensus on that.
In the House.
Not so much in the Senate then.
Well, I've heard mixed things in the Senate. I think what's important for people to know is that transparent governments are accountable governments, and they're more effective and responsive governments. And so the more we can make our government transparent, the more likely we are to avoid problems like Flint in the future, to avoid problems like the Grand Rapids Veterans Home, and make sure that government is responsive and effective and helpful to all people in the state.
Go a little bit deeper with us on your, you alluded to progress on education. Where's the opportunity here in late 2016 to move forward on that?
Well, and I don't know that we'll actually see this happen this year, but it's certainly very needed in this state, and that is we've got to make sure that all schools, both traditional public schools and charters, are held accountable for actual results and for improving education in the classroom. And right now, charter schools around the state have operated largely with impunity, where they really have not been held to the same standards. And we need to make sure that we're holding charter schools accountable and we're shutting down those charter schools that are ineffective and doing a bad job.
And in addition, we've seen a report that has come out that the administration had put together on the based on pushing by the Democrats last session to say what is the true cost of actually funding education. That report came out and it showed very clearly that we are underfunding education at all levels all across the state. And if we really want to be competitive with states like Massachusetts and Minnesota that are having the higher test scores and the higher graduation rates, we're going to have to invest more. And unfortunately, that's just been sitting on the desk of the governor, and he hasn't really brought any legislative leaders together that I'm aware of to actually start that conversation. And even if it's a next year conversation, we should start that conversation now, because he's putting together a budget. And if he's not having those legitimate conversations, it means he's not taking seriously the investment that we need to be putting into our public schools.
We're talking to two leading members of the Michigan House, Sam Singh, the East Lansing Democrat, and House Minority Leader Tim Grimmel of Auburn Hills. It's been about 4 months since a Republican-led special legislative committee finished its investigative hearings into the Flint water crisis, and we're still awaiting the policy recommendations there. What recommendations need to happen here? Where are you at on Flint exactly?
Well, the most disappointing thing that's happened is that the Senate acted to appropriate money immediately last spring, some additional funds that are needed in Flint to address the humanitarian catastrophe there. And the House Republicans refused to take up that additional money until the coming fiscal year that starts October 1st. And so as a result, Flint has had to go with too little assistance for 4 or 5 months now that it could have been using to fix the pipes and deliver humanitarian assistance. And because of the House Republicans' refusal to appropriate that money immediately, that's not going to become available until October.
And in addition, you know, we do need to have a long-term solution for the health care needs of these children, the educational needs. This is a 20-year plan that we need to have a fund created that the legislature can't tap into in the future. And the fact that the governor hasn't proposed something is very disappointing. The fact that this committee didn't even interview the governor, interview key legislative leaders, was very disappointing to us. Made it almost seem like this was a show versus actually wanting to get down to what actually happened and who knew what when it did happen. And so we're still waiting for a legitimate investigation into what the governor's office did know about this, what the DEQ knew as well. And so, unfortunately, what happened in the Senate through that that committee wasn't something that was thoughtful in addressing all of the people that were involved.
Is the emergency manager law going to come back up again? Are you going to bring that up again?
Well, we already have. We have introduced a number of bills to either eliminate or modify the emergency manager law. I think it should be obvious to everybody that the emergency manager system does not work. It did not work with the Detroit Public School System. It did not work in Flint. And it has not worked in any community where it's been implemented. There's a reason why democracy is the best system of government in the world. And it's because people who are democratically elected to govern are more responsive to citizens. These state-appointed emergency managers don't have that accountability mechanism and have failed miserably.
You've both been outspoken in your support for allowing voters the straight ticket option, voting option. The decision of the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals made it likely that straight ticket ballots would be an option in November, but Attorney General Bill Schuette has just filed an emergency application with the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court, to reinstate the ban. Do you think there's a chance his attempt could be successful?
In a word, no.
And I think it's unfortunate that this attorney general continues to waste taxpayer dollars. He's lost, obviously, every step of the way, and he knows that he's not going to succeed at the U.S. Supreme Court. They're not going to overturn this. And so why waste taxpayer dollars? Well, I've actually introduced a bill that would require the attorney general and his office to begin to count the hours that his appointees and his staff is spending on these partisan attacks, because it's at some point we have to know how much taxpayer dollars is this attorney general wasting. And he's been doing it on issue after issue that he's been going to the U.S. Supreme Court and losing time and time again because he wants to push a partisan agenda. I think it's despicable the way he's been using his office to push a partisan agenda.
There's 40 other states, though, that where straight ticket voting has also been banned. What do you say to people who say it works or it's acceptable in 40 other states? Why shouldn't it be acceptable here?
Well, in the other states, it's almost always been paired with allowing easier access to any reason absentee voting, any reason registration. So it's worked in some other states where it's been paired with legislation to make it easier to access the ballot that has reduced long lines at polling places. Unfortunately, that didn't happen here in Michigan. And so if this were to pass, it would almost certainly create much longer lines at polling places and make it much more time intensive and difficult to vote.
And I think just to add one last piece, again, the voters have voted on this twice. There have been two other attempts by Republicans to remove this, and the last attempt in 2001 was put back by the voters. So again, why is the Attorney General taking something that the state has obviously voted on? It was Democrats, Republicans, and Independents that support it because it had over 60% approval. So why is he going against the vote of the people that occurred in 2001? That's something, again, that shows that he's continuing to waste these taxpayer dollars for a partisan agenda.
You're both up for re-election. Democrats need to gain 9 seats to win control of the House. What do you think your chances are, Tim?
Well, things are lining up very well for us. We've got great, hardworking candidates out there. Donald Trump is hurting Republicans down ticket. We know we're going to have higher turnout in the presidential year. And I think most importantly, people are fed up with one-party dominance in Lansing government for the past 6 years. People want some balance restored to state government, and Democrats winning control of the state House would ensure that balance.
I have been speaking with House Democratic Leader Tim Grimmel and House Democratic Floor Leader Sam Singh, Democrat of East Lansing, about the fall legislative session kicking off this week, as well as the Democrats' attempt to gain control of the House in the upcoming election. Tim Grimmel, Sam Singh, many thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Appreciate
for having
it. Us. Stay cool.
Thank you.